if you can think about that why first and anchor that as the driver of your strategy, that's probably the one overarching thing that I think should be taken away from this podcast is always start with your why. Do not start with the how. Do not even start with the when or the what, because you will get bogged down on the details. You will overwhelm yourself because any big radical change will take many steps. But if you have that why clear, and you may need someone to help uncover it, or you may be able, to uncover it yourself, but that's the order.
Yeah, finding meaning in what you're doing, because you're never going to be good at something when you start it. Like, you're crazy if you think that you will be. Like, there is natural talents in some things, but you know, most things that we learn, most skills that we begin, we're going to start off pretty average at them. So you do have to show up. You do have to move through the difficulty, move through the challenges. But if you really, really hold deep meaning to where you're headed, then all of the journey along the way, it's just part of the process, right? It's just part of growing. And to see the goodness in the hard times is really important, because they are the learning. They are the learning curves. They are where all the actual real gritty good stuff is. It's not in the easy parts. It's not in the fun sitting in broom having a little laugh, laugh. It's what we've learned to get here. It's what we've our relationship has changed. The way that we communicate with each other, the way that we love each other has changed because of all of the hardship, all of the discovery, all of the going down on the roller coaster and coming back up. And you know, all of that is actually where the goodness is. That is the fruit. That is the promised land there.
Welcome to the Dancing with Doubt podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Topor, and with me is my wife and partner in crime, Anita Musker.
Hello.
We're coming to you from the stunning landscapes of the Broome region of Western Australia, and we are pumped to be bringing you the second series of the podcast, On the Road Edition, which features our bold decision to leave our old life behind and become nomads with our furry friends, Wally the dog and Paprika the cat.
In today's episode, we're going to be tackling some big questions. How do you turn a crazy idea into an actual reality?
Or a life-changing reality.
Life-changing. How do we discover our why? How do we turn the why into
the how? And the what?
From strategy to implementation, the visions that drive us.
And also how we combined our unique skill sets into getting us to the life that we've actually dreamed of living.
And are currently living. So gear up. This is episode 14 of the Dancing with Doubt podcast. Episode one of season two.
Lots of numbers here. Let's just dive in.
Here we go.
Welcome to episode one, Anita.
I am feeling very welcomed in my caravan.
I know, right? Because we've had to convert it into a studio for the day.
Yeah. Not much room in here at the moment, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I dare say, for those of you that are watching on YouTube, excuse me if I'm sweating, it is super hot and humid outside. We're just about an hour and a half south of Broome. Well,
it's
and truly.
It's blooming hot.
Yeah. How many times are you going to use that one?
Oh, gosh. It is funny. I think it is.
Absolutely. So today I thought we'd talk about how we actually turned an idea into this life-changing reality that we found ourselves in. Because all good things in life start with an idea, right?
Yeah. I guess they have to. No, of course. Yeah, and I honestly trying to think back, like, it's been a long time coming, this journey.
I feel like the children seeds of this idea were sown long ago. Like, we didn't just decide all of a sudden to pack up our life and quit our jobs and go travel around Australia with our dog and our cat.
No, I think it was like a snowball effect since lockdowns and COVID and all of that happened. Mm-hmm. Like, what year was that now? 2020, when the world started to change, and then the real heavy lockdowns, 2021 or a bit of both.
Yeah, around then.
Yeah, definitely. I think that period was the sort of illumination on what wasn't going right in life, or what we wanted to change in life.
I know, right? Because there was quite a bit of that.
Yeah, like we were working our asses off.
Yeah.
Working really hard, which again, I'm super blessed about, because that is, yeah, I know that a lot of people through that period were really struggling, not having work, not being able to pay their bills. So we were on the other end of that scale, I guess. Like we were able to pay our bills and able to save, actually, but we were working nonstop.
We've never been busier in our lives, yeah, professionally speaking.
Yeah, never been busier in our lives. Like I worked in logistics, and even though, you know, it seems like everything came to a stop, logistics, you know, had so many problems through that period. You know, ships not being able to sail on time, people trying to get orders in, like just a stack of, you know, snowball effects that just got progressively worse. Natural disasters going on with our offshore teams. So we were just working nonstop, and not to, you know, to sort of not show any appreciation for that period, because I do have a lot of appreciation for my work and a lot of, like a lot of gratefulness within me for that. There is also the other side of that where you're just like, without my holidays, without my weekend, without my social interactions, without my family, I couldn't see my family. I mean, I live far away from my family, but we couldn't see your family.
You couldn't even see mum down the road, for God's sake.
You couldn't see anyone. You couldn't go for a walk out in nature. Without those things, it really illuminated what wasn't right in life. The work-life balance was off at that time. And it really just shone a lot of lights into the parts of myself that I hadn't dealt with. Like, it was like doing a Vipassana retreat or something like that. Like having all of this time to think of like, what have I done with my life? Where am I going with my life? What am I not doing now that serves me? You know, what's my future look like? So all the big questions started coming up. So I actually do look on lockdowns as a really sort of illuminating time, a really big growth time for me. Because yeah, all of these big like things that have been hidden within me started to come up. And I actually mustered up the courage to do my coaching course at that time and go part-time at work. And I'm so grateful for my work for allowing me to go part-time. But when I started getting a taste of that part-time life and being able to do something that I really loved, my coaching degree, it really just showed me where my life, you know, up until this point hadn't really been aligning to who I am. And I think that for me was the first initial spark. I really started to find myself. I felt really, really depressed and sad and at the same time, but I also was able to come out of that with a bit of like, what next? What am I going to do with my life? And I feel like for you, it was a similar sort of journey.
Yeah. I mean, I've got really mixed emotions about the period because, like you said, it was really tough on everyone, and it was tougher on certain groups of people who couldn't work and who had financial insecurity. That would have been the toughest.
Yeah.
And obviously not being able to see family and friends as well. For us, and for me specifically, it was actually a period of intense growth professionally. Mm-hmm. So I worked for a global fintech company, and we had just gotten taken over. So it was an Australian fintech company. We'd just gotten taken over by a global fintech company at the end of 2020. And all of a sudden, I found myself managing and leading two fairly decent sized project teams, and the business was growing hugely.
Yeah,
like it was insane. I was hiring people almost every month remotely, doing inductions remotely, because the business just couldn't keep up with growth. And it was amazing, because the timing probably wasn't the best, because I'd rather have had that growth in more ideal conditions. But at the same time, being at home so much, I was able to focus all of my energy, all of my efforts on growing professionally and being the best professional that I could. But the other end of the candle was the bit that I didn't really see coming as much, and that was the burnout.
Yeah.
And I remember distinctly, there were times where I would wake up in cold sweats at 4:30, 5 in the morning, and all I could think about was work and project delivery and deadlines and making sure that our clients looked after. And that took a toll, because I was still a fairly new leader at that stage, and there was no real blueprint for managing professional life
in lockdowns, yeah.
being at home all the time, not having an outlet.
Yeah.
It was freaking intense.
Not only was the world blowing up in our faces, our rights were taken away from us.
Yeah.
Like, there was so much going on, and then you're trying to navigate other people's emotions as well. I just yeah. remember seeing you in that time, and, like, this was the first time I got to see you working as well as an observer. Like, because you talk about your job, and, like, I heard about things, but you don't actually normally, in a normal circumstance, we don't get to see each other working. So for us to both be able to see each other through that period and the stress and, like, the, you know, having to show up every day and lead, that was really impressive by you, but also I could see the toll it was taking on you.
Yeah, because you're not just a manager. You're not just there to manage KPIs. These are real people that you work with, real emotions that are going through largely the same sort of difficulties as what you're going through.
Yeah.
And you have to put on a brave face and not only do that, but also help them through this period of their life and help yourself. So it was, on one hand, incredibly rewarding, and the growth trajectory was phenomenal. And I say thank you to OneView and Iris, that the companies that employed me at the time, for giving me that shot, because I would not have grown nearly as much if it wasn't for the leaders that imparted their, confidence in me. But on the other hand, I was getting deeply, deeply burnt out. And that burnout was starting to really take over my life, my psyche. It started putting a toll on our relationship. And it kind of got to a point where I was like, what the F am I doing with my life? Like, yes, I'm earning money. I'm earning really good money. We've got a house. We've got, you know, outwardly the life that a lot of people aspire to, but it wasn't enough. Something was missing. Something was deeply out of balance. And it sparked some really, really intense conversations between us, I remember.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when you take out, you know, the things you truly love, like you're seeing your family, your friends, and all you have is pretty much work and time for yourself on your own. And then you sort of go like, what do I even like? What do I even do, like, when I have time?
What lights us up?
But it's like, I don't want to sit here watching movies every single weekend. Like, what can I be doing that makes me feel good? So it was a lot of internal shit going on. Like, a lot of stuff going on. So, yeah, that was definitely, like, going and doing some sort of, like I said, like a Vipassana retreat or some crazy spirit quest. Because, that it literally mirrored those kind of experiences where it was life-changing. And definitely changed the course of our life, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, if I actually break down and distill the things that we wanted at that stage, or the changes that we wanted to make, I've written them down sort of in prep for this episode. We wanted a slower paced life. We definitely wanted to slow things down. So even though we were locked down, we needed to slow down the mind and just the general pace of life. We wanted a lower cost base of living, because money and our relationship to money, it had changed.
Yeah.
When you're locked down full time for months on end, what is the point of having heaps of money?
Yeah, absolutely.
What is the point of it if you can't go and experience and live your life and experience the joys? So our money's value changed for us, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you couldn't really fill that void with things, right? You needed people, experiences, loved ones. It was missing all of that, and for us, being a bit of the adventurers, we've traveled every single year of our lives. Like, not being able to travel, it was like a huge thing for us. Like, it just really felt like a big chunk of our identity was taken from us.
Yeah, it's bad for the soul.
Bit of an ego death.
Yeah. And although we had to find time, or particularly I had to find time to give people care and make sure that they were okay, we actually found ourselves not having enough time for self-care.
Yeah, absolutely.
And discovering those parts of ourselves that we were missing.
Yeah.
Because we were bloody working the whole time.
Yeah.
Or locked down.
Yeah.
Trying to catch up on sleep.
You just didn't feel like it, because you were depleted and stressed and the world just didn't make sense. And I think anyone that lived in Melbourne, and I don't mean that the whole world didn't have their problems throughout this period, so I acknowledge that, but for the people that we can relate to in Melbourne, it still shows up, this trauma, this stress, this PTSD, I guess, from that period. Like, it's just so hard to ever be the same pre, you know, COVID and lockdowns happening. It's taken 4 years for my company that I worked for to actually go back to the office.
Yeah, like, that's crazy.
If you think about it, like, okay, it's a little bit less, but like, it's taken that long to even be able to go to the office full time. So, and that's fine as well. But with COVID also came these different changes of people's needs of flexibility, right? Like, we're supposed to go back to the office, but we're also used to being at home now. So like,
because we've seen what's possible.
Yeah, but also having to adjust to talking to people, to using your energy elsewhere. Yeah. Like this massive energy exchange of like having to see people every single day. So much had changed. So much was changing, and it is still taking its toll on us now. And I think throughout this story, you can see where it still shows up, those that little reminiscing parts of that period of our life.
Yeah. And I guess we just didn't know what. How can you find out what lights you up when you're living in that environment? How is it possible? It's not possible. But still, something deep inside of us went, this is not what we want to be doing. This is not where we want to be at.
Yeah. We need change, something radical.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, in past events of our life, what have we done in the past? We've gone and travelled.
Yeah.
So as soon as we were let out, we went to the other side of the world and visited my family.
Thinking it would feel the exact same, even though, you know, we hadn't done it for a whole year and we'd been not even allowed to go to our Coles, you know. Yeah, that was maybe biting off a bit more than we could chew. How many years after was it? 2 years after the initial COVID outbreak and...
Yeah, so I guess
travel
opened
up internationally.
Yeah, so in 2022, we first set foot outside of Australia.
Yeah.
For the first time since 2019.
Thinking we were the confident young people we were before. Mm. Like, it was definitely a huge endeavour after something so big had happened in our world.
Yeah, and I guess we were trying to find a place where we could fill or tick some of these boxes that we thought needed to be ticked, right? So we wanted somewhere warm, preferably tropical or at least subtropical. We wanted somewhere with a lower cost base of living, where we could still work but slow it down. Yeah, all that criteria. We were conscious of that criteria.
Yeah, because we were really looking at where we could move at this point as well, like thinking we could escape all of the trauma, all of the mess that we had at home, and thinking like a sea change would change everything and make everything better.
All your problems would magically melt
away.
Yeah, like
everything would disappear. So we did start thinking about places we could live outside of Australia where we might feel more relaxed, more safe, I guess. I guess we didn't trust the country at that point. Off we went.
So we found ourselves looking at a list of two countries, like that was the short list, right? Costa Rica and Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
Not even really considering our own turf because it didn't tick some of those boxes. So, you know, we went to Costa Rica. One of the furthest points you can get to from Australia, from a flight perspective, you know, definitely not around the corner.
Definitely not around the corner.
And hey, Costa Rica, it was amazing. The first 4 days, wow.
Yeah.
I remember landing, it was like another planet. It was lush, green, beautiful people, warm.
Yeah, we did feel really like just completely out of Australia. We felt like we're in a foreign world, and it was just exciting, and we felt like we'd found ourselves again.
We thought it was all looking up and we can make this work.
Yeah, for 4 days.
For 4 days.
Until...
boom. We got robbed.
We did get robbed, yeah.
Pretty badly.
Yeah, we definitely had been a bit greener than normal. Like, we've travelled the world before, and we made a couple of, like, silly decisions, I guess. I mean, if you're going to get robbed, you'll get robbed anyway. But, yeah, it was very difficult to digest that we were looking at crocodiles when we got robbed.
Yeah.
Crocodiles.
Yeah, crocodiles. And the worst part is, I mean, they cleaned up that day. They had a really good day because they got our cameras, they got over $1,000 in cash. They got our passports. They got my work laptop. They got your personal laptop. They got your jewelry. They got your makeup, for God's sakes. That was a tough one for you.
And at the time, I was very much like still in my self-conscious, wearing makeup every single day stages. Yeah. And I just, you couldn't get the makeup that I had where we were. So that was a lot of money too. And phones, everything.
It was a proper shit day.
And then trying to digest the fact that we had to, you know, explain this to not only your work, but our foreign police officer who doesn't speak English.
Who had to call his brother in America to translate. Bless his soul.
Oh, he was lovely. Like, bless him. He called his brother who works for Microsoft in the US, and he translated the whole conversation for us. So, you know, that gives you some great gratitude for people, because people are beautiful when they show up for you like that. But yeah, it really shook us. It really shook us.
And we've traveled a lot. Like, we've gone on many, many local buses all over the world and interacted with all people from all walks of life. We've never had an issue, really.
Yeah, I think it was that, and obviously coming out of COVID lockdown, first trip international, the flight felt super long when we got there. We were sort of like coming out of our shells, like being in this foreign country, and then that happened. And it just really, really, really probably set us backwards a few steps of our confidence, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it made us question, what are we doing here? Like, in Australia, we're questioning, what are we doing with our lives? What are we doing with work?
Yeah.
And now we're questioning, what the hell are we doing here? So we were in one big world of confusion. Because I think our world was just shaken so much that it really threw us off and fogged up this lens that we were trying to look through to find our dream life.
Yeah, I think that we just thought everything would make sense, and that we were going to get the answers, and that, you know, we were going to just tick all of the boxes. And no, that wasn't what happened. It was like another big boom in the chest, a big ego hit, another little spirit quest where we were like, oh, okay, we just had everything taken from us, and now we have to work out what to do. And when we were in this country that didn't even have an Australian embassy. So we couldn't even get our passports easily. I think we were driving around and not one person knew where the Australian embassy was. Later to find out that it didn't exist.
Yeah, it was just an honorary embassy.
We had to speak to someone in Mexico, translating like documents between two different people, someone in Costa Rica. Oh, it was just difficult.
It was a mess.
It was difficult, and we ended up being stuck in the country for much longer than we thought. And let's not say it was all bad. It was very beautiful. We had some absolutely mind-blowing, beautiful spiritual experiences with nature. Like, it was just stunning. But there was this lingering little dark cloud in our guts and our bellies, like, we were a bit broken.
And to top it off, because we were just coming out of COVID, and not every country came out of it the same and on equal terms with each other, the flight situation was really, really stuffed in 2022. Yeah. So not only could we not fly out easily, but because we had emergency passports, we couldn't fly through the US, which is the main transit point to get to Australia from Central America. So yeah, that was another one to contend with. But you know what? I feel like with every crisis comes another opportunity. And you mentioned nature just before, how we were out in nature heaps, because that's all we could do.
Yeah.
We didn't have that much money left until insurance came through. All we could do was go into nature.
And we couldn't get home.
Yeah.
So we had to stay a lot longer than we had previously planned. I mean, we didn't even plan to be there for so long.
Yeah,
so we had to start thinking of what we can do to fill our time. And what was going to fill our time was nature. There was plenty of beautiful nature there.
Absolutely. And do you remember how, I don't know if it was Manuel Antonio or maybe it was another national park, where we were walking through and we saw ferns.
Yeah.
And we went, oh, they look like similar ferns to what we have in Marysville in Victoria, like in the cool temperate forest.
Yeah.
And then when we actually had a guide with us, they explained that these ferns are identical to the ferns from Australia.
Yeah. And that was how just funny. Like this beautiful little synchronicity, and it just made us feel really like, for the first time in our lives, we've never been on a trip where I've wanted to go home. Like, I've just been like, it'd be so nice to be at home right now.
Yeah,
like, I missed home. And don't get me wrong, I loved our time in Costa Rica, and it'll still go down as one of my most amazing experiences. But I really, really, really wanted to go home. And I think we were just sitting at, you know, this beautiful, it's a hostel there called Selena, but it was, looked like a bloody resort. It was so beautiful. I was sitting on the balcony and it was raining and we were just like, maybe we should just travel in our own country. Like, we want to take time off. Well, we can do that. We can travel for as long as we want and we can take the pets with us so we can go for a lot longer than we normally would be able to. And we're like, yeah, why don't we do that? And it was a big sort of moment, like, why wouldn't we just travel around our own country? And I think that was the first time that that little spark of like traveling around Australia came in.
Yeah, it's funny because my recollection of where we actually came up with the Australia idea is a little bit different. I thought we were in a bar, a rooftop bar in Samara, maybe 50 k's away, and we were on this wooden swing and we're having a nice tropical cocktail, and I think you just said to me, why don't we just travel in our own country? Look how beautiful it is. They've got Australian ferns. We love the ferns.
Well, however the story actually played out in real life, no one really knows.
But the essence was there.
But I'm pretty sure, not sure, surely, short, oh gosh, not long after that, you had actually broken a surfboard. And we'd add that to the list of things that were going wrong.
$700 surfboard to top it off.
So we had definitely thought, yep, it's time to go home, everybody. It's time to go home, even if we couldn't get home.
Yeah. And I think at the time when this idea first materialized, we didn't get too bogged down in the how. We kind of just went, oh, it seems pretty right. It's our own country. We have working rights. It actually does tick a lot of the boxes that we want. We have to find a better way of doing it so that it is cheaper than what we perceive it to be, because cost base was a really, really big part.
Yeah, of course.
But I feel like we'll work that out at the time. So
yeah,
let's just enjoy the rest of whatever's left of this little journey and go home.
So we planted a seed. We gave it a little bit of water. It started to grow. And then
and then life went back to normal.
Actually, that's when I ended up having to go back to work full time, and kind of like felt like my dreams had been crushed, even though I am grateful for my job. And, you know, at that time it was the right decision, but I kind of had to step back from my coaching business and went back to work full time. And it was like, oh, everything's kind of, it was a dream and it's gone.
Yeah. And it was circumstances. I mean, interest rates were going up. We had mortgages to pay. We had bills to pay. And I think we slotted back into this mindset of always living for the future and accumulating and, you know, just constantly getting ahead. And I think we lost ourselves again, to be honest.
Yeah. I think also just constantly thinking an idea, like having an idea is one thing, but to actually create the actionable steps to make it a reality, that is where people get stuck. And that's where I usually get stuck. In every single idea I've ever had, like a big idea, I got stuck with my business doing that. I got stuck with my music career doing stuff like that. So, you know, it's not uncommon for people to go, I have this amazing idea, but then completely lose themselves on the, like, how am I going to get there?
Yeah,
like, how am I actually going to make this a reality?
Especially when it's something quite grand.
Drastic.
And, yeah, drastic. I mean, we're talking about a life-changing decision here to uproot your
entire
life.
Like, nobody quits their jobs, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't do that because that's silly, because you need money. You need to pay your mortgages. You need to be able to, you know, if you've got kids, put the kids through school or feed the pets, in our case. You need to put food on our table. You need to be able to do this. You need to be accumulating wealth. So that's the way that mindset kind of, you get stuck in that little bit of a loop.
You have to be a success, right? Like, it's all about success.
There's that too,
and you got to smash it.
Especially with social media these days. Like, you're always looking at these people killing it and you're like, oh my gosh, like, I'm not doing enough.
Yeah.
And by constantly feeling that way, you kind of just don't do anything. Like, you don't get anywhere because you're just going in a circle, really, aren't you? Because you're never going to be enough, so you don't try.
Mm.
And then by not trying, you're never going to have skills enough to be whatever it is that you're trying to, you know, become. So yeah, getting out of that mindset was definitely the thing that sort of bogged us back down, and it was really hard to sort of see how we would make this a reality.
Yeah, until it actually, I feel like it actually accelerated this reality in a way, because we were so unhappy again after Costa Rica, after being so hopeful, we became so unhappy that we just went, No. Like, we can play this game for a little bit longer to get to where we need, but we need to make a choice here because this is just not working. Like, we've gone back to it now and it's not working anymore. And it's even worse now because of the financial situation with mortgage repayments and all that. So I feel like it actually accelerated things way quicker. And we started to look at actionable steps. How can we remain in our country and still live that life that we so want?
And I guess as well, it's one thing again to have an idea, but to actually take steps to move towards it becoming your reality, that is where you get stuck. And there is nothing wrong with having a job. A job serves its purpose and it's important. But you also can be accumulating wealth and accumulating things for the future, but never actually be living in the present. And I think that was where we were feeling a real disconnect, because I don't think either of us were unappreciative of where we were at. We were very grateful for where we were at. We even enjoyed some fancy restaurants in Melbourne and we were going out with our friends and things were okay, right? But yeah, it was just how to line everything up, how to sort of go, well, how long am I going to continue looking to the future before I start living my life now? And what's wrong with taking a gap year? What's wrong with spending your money? That's just something that my parents' generation didn't do. They accumulate the money and they hold it on for the next generation, maybe, or they hold it on until their 60s, now even closer to their 70s because the retirement age is much older. And then what? They don't have their health. They don't have their ability to actually enjoy life. So that was a big one for us, was this massive, like, I'm not living in the present. I'm not actually, and it's okay. I think the biggest one to overcome was it's okay to spend money. Like, it's okay to spend the money that you've earned, because in a perfect world, you will be able to earn money again and you can work again. We know we have, we've done it before. You and I have worked full-time jobs up until present history, since we were 15 years old, almost a 16, whenever you finish school, 17 years old. 17 years old, we've worked full-time jobs. Like, we've had jobs, both of us, pretty much all our lives. We both took one of those, you know, gap years when we were younger in our early 20s. But why can't we do it again?
Yeah.
Why can't we enjoy our lives a little bit now so that we don't miss out on everything, you know?
Because the money can be replenished, but the youth... That you get one shot at that. And the youth is just slowly slipping through our fingers. I mean, we may not look at a good skincare regime and lots of sun here in Western Australia, but you're never going to get these years back.
Yeah.
So we just decided, yeah. I mean, that was really the why, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It was the biggest why for me, particularly. Like, I definitely felt like it's one thing to accumulate wealth, but what's if I never get to see that time where I can enjoy it?
Yeah.
You know?
The adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually, in my typical self, I like to acronym things as much as possible so that I can file it in my brain and come back to it. So I actually acronymed it with ACED, ACED, adventure, connection, evolution, and discovery. And I wrote that on my mirror every morning when I would wake up. That would be the first thing that I would see when I open my eyes each morning. And that would be my why. And I actually look back on that and go, that was the best thing that I could have done at the time to find that why, because the journey here has not been easy. We've had to overcome our own doubts. We've had to overcome our parents' doubts and many of those around us. But having that anchored into a really super strong, bright, clear why, I think made the how possible. And we were able to discover and uncover that how, which is the part that you struggled with previously, you mentioned before.
Yeah. Having, you know, an overactive mind, I can sometimes get bogged down in the, I'll start to like dissect things into minor details that are just like completely irrelevant, really. And I'll find all of the reasons why things won't work. And I'm not a pessimist. Like, I have I'm very optimistic about things. Like, but when I actually start to go and do something, I really find ways to like talk myself out of it or like to say that it's not going to work. And then I sort of set myself up for goodbyes.
which is a natural human way of protecting yourself, yeah. It's about self-preservation.
Yeah, because, you know, our monkey mind doesn't want to change because then once we, you know, take change, there's risk, right? There's risk. Like we've felt the risk. When we decided to actually do this, all of a sudden it was like, but how, like, are we actually going to make money? Will we be able to survive? You know, so things start to come in. What if I can't feed myself? You know, so there is all of those doubts that come in. But you just, I guess you get better at making the mind a little bit quieter and, you know, it's taking those little steps that you were able to put in place, actions that were realistic that made it seem not so impossible.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I think we brought really, really symbiotic things to the table with this decision. You, through your training and just generally being better connected within yourself, you were able to help uncover our why. So mm-hmm. that was where you came in. You were like this visionary that helped steer us into finding what this idea was and actually not quantifying it, but defining it maybe. Whereas my skill set tends to be more in the implementation side and maybe the more practical strategy side, the what, the how, and the when. Mm. And together, when we actually fused our two minds in terms of working out these next steps, that's where the magic really started. Because, you know, that was in 2023 and it's mid-2024 now and we are living, at least in the present reality, the life that we've always wanted.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and I think my
work to your strengths.
Yeah, and I think my coaching degree was able to help me overcome, like, those doubts. And it helped me to grow and not fear everything because previously I have self-sabotaged. And, like, this was my start of that new journey where I was like, no, I can actually do things outside of my comfort zone. No, I can actually believe in myself. And then you having actual ways to make it real, make it tangible, was, yeah, just, again, that the different brains, different ways of working, the creative and the analytical, yeah, it was, and the practical. So, yeah, it was just, it was like a symphony. No, it was, a lot of the time it was like, chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
But most of the time, yeah, we would come to the table at the same place and it was good.
Yeah, and yeah. What I want to reinforce to people that are listening is you don't necessarily need two people to make these sort of decisions and to find this out. If you can think about that why first and anchor that as the driver of your strategy, that's probably the one overarching thing that I think should be taken away from this podcast is always start with your why. Do not start with the how. Do not even start with the when or the what, because you will get bogged down on the details. You will overwhelm yourself because any big radical change will take many steps. But if you have that why clear and you may need someone to help uncover it, or you may be able to uncover it yourself, but that's the order.
Yeah, finding meaning in what you're doing, because you're never going to be good at something when you start it. Like, you're crazy if you think that you will be. Like, there is natural talents in some things, but you know, most things that we learn, most skills that we begin, we're going to start off pretty average at them. So you do have to show up. You do have to move through the difficulty, move through the challenges. But if you really, really hold deep meaning to where you're headed, then all of the journey along the way, it's just part of the process, right? It's just part of growing. And to see the goodness in the hard times is really important, because they are the learning. They are the learning curves. They are where all the actual real gritty good stuff is. It's not in the easy parts. It's not in the fun sitting in broom having a little laugh.
Yeah.
It's what we've learned to get here. It's what we've, our relationship has changed. The way that we communicate with each other, the way that we love each other has changed because of all of that hardship, all of the discovery, all of the going down on the roller coaster and coming back up, and, you know, all of that is actually where the goodness is. That is the fruit. That is the promised land there. in all of the difficulty, you will find yourself, as long as you have meaning behind why you're doing it and what you're going through it for. You know, like, you just have to anchor, like you said, to your why.
Yeah. And it can be applied, these lessons can be applied whether you're making this decision together,
yeah,
or whether you're doing it solo, because, you know, there's no ideal moment in your life where you may want to have this radical transformation in yourself.
Mm.
It may come at the most unlikely of moments, but if you're armed with this knowledge of what to do and how to do it.
And to think, like, this came to us through the hardest times of our lives, through lockdowns in Melbourne, through losing all of our stuff in Costa Rica, to breaking a surfboard, to coming home and still, you know, I had to hang up my dreams for a little while because financially we couldn't afford to keep going the way that we were. So I went back to work full time. So a lot of things, like, that you could say were horrible times, bad things, you know, bad is a label, but, like, you know, but to find the goodness in that and to actually say, well, I'm not going to let that stop me, because there's always going to be challenges. There's always going to be difficulties. There's always going to be someone better than you. You are never going to be the only person that's got an idea. Like, you just have to believe in yourself, believe in the meaning, believe in the why, and keep going throughout it all.
That's great advice. Mm. Great advice. And it sounds like you just need to also just accept the fact that you're uncomfortable. Step into that and live in that uncomfortableness for a little bit. Because if you try and mask it with distractions and shiny new objects or, you know, experiences that are fleeting, you're just going to keep masking it. No actual work is going to happen. Whereas if you live in that discomfort for a little bit, get into that grit and find out why, that's where you can get the answers.
Life's too short to sit around waiting for things to happen. Life is too short to not actually be yourself in the fullest expression. So if you don't know who that is, work it out and get on with it, man, because there is not a lot of time to waste. Like, just live it up, enjoy it. And if that's working and play, like, it doesn't matter what it looks like for you. It could be different for everyone, but just don't just tap out.
Don't exist.
Yeah, don't tap out. Give it a go. And if it fails, at least you bloody gave it a go. Like, give it a go. The Australian dream, right? Like, what were they talking about? That break dance that I was saying, the give it a go.
Oh, the one at the Olympics, yeah.
Oopsie daisy.
Oops.
Yeah, so don't always give it a go if you're going to be at the Olympics, but no, I'm just joking. Now, giving it a go is actually a very Australian thing, isn't it? But I do mean it. I mean, just try. Just try, because you're not going to regret trying.
Yeah. So speaking of trying and giving it a go, I want to put you on the spot here. And I know your ADHD brain may not like this, but I think it's really important for people to actually learn how to do this. So if we've said that the why is the most important thing, how do you discover this why? Like, do you have certain exercises or certain actionable steps that people can do in order to uncover their why? Because we don't all have spiritual teachings or trainings necessarily. Is there some way of shortcutting it?
No, not really. Not shortcutting it. But I think, how often do you actually spend time with yourself and ask yourself these questions? You could sit there, you know, your whole life and saying, oh, I never knew what I wanted to do. But did you really take the time to ask yourself? Did you sit? And this is why lockdowns ended up being that saving grace for me, because I had nothing else to do, no distractions, because I was constantly distracting myself with going out, partying, being with the girls, doing nice things, socializing, going to sport, going to, you know, whatever I could find, catching up with people. And I never had to think about it, never had to ask myself questions. I was distracted. So in lockdowns, I had all this time, and all of a sudden I was like, well, what do I really want? And it was the first time I started journaling, doing different manifestation practices, at the time affirmations for me, because I was really low in self-esteem. So I was starting to hear all these buzzwords on the internet through my course, but I actually started doing some of these things and realized that they work, right? So sitting with yourself, I know not everyone's into this meditation stuff, right? But really, I think if you go through any person's success programs, any certain, like Tony Robbins, any of these people, you're going to find meditation. It's going to be everywhere because it is really important to take a few minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, however much time you've got, to just sit and go, how am I feeling today? What do I want? What do I feel grateful for? And just going through a little questionnaire for yourself as to what actually you're feeling, what you're thinking, what, you know, and start to really just take away from the noise, the things that are just thoughts that are passing by, clouds passing by, and really homing in on the truth of how you're feeling. Otherwise, it can be catastrophic events happening in your life might bring this to light. But I think really a lot of the time we just don't even ask ourselves. We don't sit and think about what our needs are. We don't take time for self-care. We don't sit in the bath these days without a phone. Mm. Like in the old days, you used to go to the toilet and you just like sit there and have your thoughts, right? Whereas now you go to the toilet and you got a phone and you're watching things, you know?
Well, some of the best ideas in the world were previously thought of in the shower.
Showers and toilets, man. Because to be honest, that was the only place that you didn't have your technology, right?
Yeah.
And back then they didn't have it anyway. So they had a lot more likelihood of knowing what they wanted than we do. But like, if you take the technology away, give yourself a moment, go out to nature. I'm a big advocate for going out and just going for a walk in nature. And you'll start to really deeply connect to who you are and what you want in your life. And I think that for me was the biggest connection, was when I stopped going out on the weekends and started going out to nature and hiking. And for me, it just all started to come slowly and slowly through those walks, that time alone. How often do you have time alone these days?
Yeah.
It's not often.
And it's also, like, if we use the example of going out to, say, a club versus going out into nature. Going out to a club, you're bombarded with stimuli.
Yeah.
And often you're talking nonstop and, you know, you're inebriated, you know, everyone's drinking. And how can you possibly hear anything like physically and also within yourself when you're in that environment?
Yeah.
And if you go out to nature, typically you're silent. You're not conversing with other people. You might share your experience with your partner if you're hiking with them or something, but most of the time you're actually silent. And that gives you a chance to do, from what I've heard, one of the most important things here, and that's to actually just listen.
And
listen.
The fact that nature actually physically changes us, like our nervous system has a chance to breathe, like we have a chance to breathe. Our like you said, like that overstimulation by having technology, computers, your phone goes off every time someone's messaging you, you know, you're on social media most of the time, we're all doing it. Even if you're going for a walk in the city, like there's noises, there's people, there's so much going on.
Usually you're listening to a podcast or listening to music or the news.
We all do it. We put the podcast in. You're probably doing it right now. You put the podcast in and you're on the train and you're actually, you know, distracting yourself from everything else, which again, it's not about anything being bad or good, but when you actually go out to nature, your whole entire body will change. The nervous system has a chance to relax. You have a chance to relax. If you just go out into nature and take a few deep breaths, sighing out all of the tension, you will guaranteed feel a difference in your body. 3 deep breaths, that's all it takes. Out in nature where there's nothing else going on, just sit under a tree, sit on the beach. Just breathing in through the nose and exhaling a sigh through the mouth, and you will feel a physical change in your body. After that, that's when you can ask yourself some real questions. That's where you can start to connect with what you're actually feeling. Are you happy in that space? Or were you happier in the chaos? I'm going to guarantee that you feel more happy and more at home in that silence. So take something from that. I started to realize I wasn't that extroverted.
Mm.
I wasn't an extrovert. I acted like an extrovert. And that takes a huge toll on a person when you're pretending to be an extrovert. I actually really, really love my own time. And again, thankfully, lockdowns, as much as I hated being alone, it really brought to surface how much energy I was giving to other people. Because when we started introducing people back into your life, I was like, oh, I could feel it for the first time. I could feel the difference because I was so used to chaos, so used to giving parts of myself, giving away my energy, performing. I've been a performer my whole life. So of course I was performing in my life, being entertaining, being happy, being whatever it was. So yeah, when you actually take all that away and you're just with yourself, how do you feel? Now I prioritize my alone time. I prioritize time doing nothing. Good luck to me of 2019 to tell her to do nothing, to sit around, to be in her own company, to any of those things. It'd have been like,
why aren't you achieving something? Why aren't you growing?
Or just having fun. Fun, like party, lifestyle, crazy, like let's go be cool and fun and dance. And don't get me wrong, you can definitely do all of those things, but they just look different now. They're not things that I do to escape.
Well, they're part of a balanced lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. I dance every day. Daniel laughs at me so much because I just like put some music on. He's like, are you dancing?
It's like, it's breakfast time. Why are you dancing?
And actually, I have like a routine now on this trip where we do a meditation in the morning and then I put a song on that makes me feel good so I can like shake out my body and be like happy, happy, happy. You know, happy is the wrong word. It's making it into something, you know, smaller than what it is. But it's like moving that energy through the body so that I can just really get to know where I'm at. And yeah, so those are the skills that I've learned through my coaching courses, through coaching other people, through life in general now. And we have the space to do these things now, so we're really lucky, because I do remember what it was like feeling like you didn't have time to prioritize self-care, but it's definitely the top of the list, number one thing you should be doing, 100%.
Amazing. Mm. Loved, loved, loved those insights. Follow-up question though. I'm going to keep these coming.
A drink of water.
Is it guaranteed that when you do listen to yourself, when you do quieten the mind and you find yourself in a setting where you're facilitating that, is it guaranteed that those answers will come to you? Or do you have to be a lot more deliberate in terms of the questions that you're asking? So if I can paraphrase, should you seek out things on the internet and certain meditative practices, or can we actually find these questions within us without external help?
I think that's a hard one to answer because everyone is different. For me, having a coach, having other people to guide me was essential to my growth. Mm-hmm. I had a coach that helped me when I was doing my course. Because I have ADHD, I really struggle to retain information. I struggled to retain words. So sometimes my words, you would probably start to get to know this over the podcast, like the things that I'm trying to express, they don't come out in the right way. My brain works faster than it should. Anyway, so I also have a lot of childhood experiences that show up in my life. So for me, it was hard to move through things on my own. For me, there was a lot blocking my emotional growth. There was a lot of trauma. There was things that were just making it impossible for me to do this alone. So I think it really does depend. Like, some people do need therapy. Some people do need coaches. Some people can really tap into their spirituality and their inner voice very quickly. And quite easily, given that they're taking the time to do so. So I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all to this question. I do think every single person benefits from going out to nature. Every single person.
100%.
Every single person.
Yeah.
There's not one human being, other than if you, like, go and hike off and fall off a cliff or something like that, but don't do anything crazy. But, I mean, like, there is nothing better for any other human being than to reconnect to their natural self, to the fact that we are part of this earth and we are, you know, one.
Really. We're natural organisms, believe it or not.
Yeah, like
the world will make you think that you're a consumer, a machine sometimes, a producer, but you are a natural organism. And you are from the earth.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you connect to that, some things don't fit into your life anymore.
Mm.
Some things don't make sense anymore. And so you don't need to go and read some conspiracy theory. You don't need to go into a dark version of the internet to find your answers. you might find some good answers out there. There are some amazing people out there, some amazing resources. Please don't feel that that's what I'm saying. Definitely go and search for your answers if that's what you need. But I think the best thing you can do is reconnect to your natural self, going out to nature, being alone from time to time. It doesn't have to be all the time, but just having some quiet time where you don't have to think. Sometimes the answers come from not thinking.
Yeah.
I think the problem.
Love it.
The problem can be perhaps of bad English. No, I'm trying to find a better way of saying that. But I think we overthink. We overthink. You know, we really do. Especially me. But no, we overthink. And sometimes that's actually not what we need. We just need to be. And being in nature, it has a really, really nice way of connecting yourself to the being and being present. So I don't think there's a one size fits all. I think we're all created differently. We've got very many different types of brains out there as we're learning and unfolding now that everyone thinks differently. Everyone learns differently. Some people have trauma. Some people have mental health issues. You cannot say there's an answer for everyone. So do what suits you, but go out to nature. You'll be right. Go out to nature.
Listen.
And just be, and just give your body and your mind and everything about you a moment of peace.
Beautiful.
Just have a moment of peace. I think that's how you'd start to learn what doesn't fit into your life anymore.
Yeah.
You have some moments of just being present.
Which is actually what we started doing, because after we got the dog and lockdowns ended, we stopped partying as much, or pretty much at all, and we started going out to nature, and the answers started coming to us.
Yeah. And you can do it all. You can party and socialize and go out to nature and go on a retreat and work and take time off. You can do it all. But yeah, it's finding what works for you. And specifically carving out time to just be for you, you know, carving out time in your schedule that is just for self-care.
Yeah.
And self-care, in my eyes, is taking my shoes off, feeling the earth beneath my feet, the waves or the ocean, the sand, whatever it is, and just going, and just checking in how I feel, you know, that for me is the first step in all of my journey. That's the first step.
So do you want to talk about the implementation and strategy and that sort of stuff?
Hey, what about you? You can tell me what you've been doing and how you do it and, you know, unfold. I'm not so good with the questions. The questions, you seem to have a beautiful way of presenting these lovely, deep questions to me. But how are you implementing and... what strategy do you use? Hey, just talk. Just tell us.
I know. And to be fair, I think the temperature's hit about 34 or 35. The humidity's about 80%. So yeah, the brain may not be as sharp as it normally is on this one. But we'll give it our best. So how to make stuff happen.
Yes, that's the one.
Oh, God.
How did you make stuff happen? And you really did make stuff happen.
Look, the only way that I'm going to be able to succinctly outline this is if I talk about my own lived experience in the situation. So it may not be appropriate to everyone or every situation, but if you can take any advice or any goodness or any points or hints from this, then I've done my job. So once the why was anchored, and we've talked extensively about that, so I'll just put that aside for now. So once the why was set, the question was, okay, well, how are we going to do this, right? And it can be tempting when you're first looking at the how into looking at this big achievement in one big blob and finding that there are so many elements to it, getting overwhelmed and stopping. You know, you spoke about that earlier. So through my training in project management and people leadership, I was able to not fall into that pitfall, and I was able to basically start with the end goal defining that, and then breaking it down into bite-sized chunks and bite-sized elements. And I'm not putting a timeline on these elements just yet. I'm literally just saying, okay, we want to go travel around Australia with our dog and our cat. What do we need? Well, we need our dog and our cat. It's already there. Okay, so how are we going to do this? What vehicle are we going to use? Because we're going to need a vehicle. We can't afford to do accommodation. So we need a car. Okay, do we have a car? Yes. Is it a four-wheel drive? Yes. Can it tow something heavy? No. Okay, so we need a new four-wheel drive. And then we need somewhere to live. Okay, so what are our options? Camper trailer, motorhome, caravan, fifth wheeler? There's a lot of options. So what's right for us? Don't know. Okay, let's park that. We need a vehicle, a second vehicle. How much money do we need? Don't know. We live in Australia. It's an expensive country.
Yeah.
We've got pets. We have petrol. Our own things that we want to do on this trip. You know, experiences,
yeah.
Petrol, food. Don't know. Okay, park that for a sec. We need money. We'll get to the how much in a sec. What knowledge do I need to stay safe? Do I know how to tow? No. Okay. Add that to the list. Find out how to tow. All these things you start uncovering. And my list went from like 20 things to learn, to do, to work out very quickly to about 90. And all of a sudden I had this gigantic list in a Word document. So then I'm like, okay, this isn't working for me. I'm going to switch to Microsoft Excel.
Oh my gosh.
We're getting deep now, mate.
Who knows how to use Microsoft Excel?
So I literally copied and pasted all of these lines into Microsoft Excel. And the reason I put it into Excel is in Excel, it's easy to start forming a timeline. And one of the first things you learn in project management is you start with the end goal in mind and you work back. You don't try and go the other way around. So I kind of started off with this date, this arbitrary date. Actually, it wasn't even arbitrary. I literally said month 12 because I said in 12 months, I want to be out of here. So month 12, this is where I want to be at. Mm-hmm. So what do we need to do in month 11? Back to month zero, which is now. And very quickly, this list of 90 things started distributing itself. And it's okay to not have all the answers up front because as you uncover more things, you will need to add things to the list. For example, yeah, we've got a caravan, but the caravan wasn't fit for purpose for what we wanted to do. We want to spend a lot of time off-grid. We don't want to be at caravan parks often. So the caravan that we got, for example, it only had one water tank, which was 62 litres.
Yeah.
That's not going to cut it. So what do we need to do? We need to add more water tanks, and we need to also have jerry cans as an emergency solution, which we found out on the road.
Yeah,
worked beautifully.
Some of the things you learn on the road.
Because we did get a hole in our water pipe, and it drained our tanks, but we still had jerry cans. But so it's okay to not have all the answers up front. Yeah, but you've got to draw it on a map.
Yeah.
And that map for me was Excel. That's how my brain works. There might be other applications out there that work better for you, but for me it was Excel. And very quickly, I started forming this really nice matrix of things that I needed to do on the left-hand side, I needed to learn or acquire, and then dates on the top, and then things started filling in. And with that in mind, I was able to see how this was possible.
Mm.
Now, at the time, we didn't have that much money saved away, so we needed to come up with further plans of how we were going to save that money and distill those steps.
Yeah.
But if you can see a pattern here, it's about downloading stuff out of your brain, putting it into an order, being kind to yourself and understanding that that's a flexible order.
Yeah.
And as you uncover and go through each step, you start to build that plan out and it starts to get real. And as you start to build out, this is a really, really, really important bit. Mark that shit in green, and green is done, complete.
And because it gives you like a little bit of like a adrenaline rush, right? Or like a bit of a dopamine hit that
exactly.
You've just done
something.
You've ticked
something off
the
list.
Gives you that sense of achievement.
And you were just that little bit closer to achieving your dream.
And so you don't feel like everything's so far away.
Yeah, and I remember you laughed at me because every evening when you'd come in and ask me if I wanted dinner or what I wanted for dinner when I was working from home, you'd see this bloody matrix with greens and yellows, and you just laugh at me going, oh, he's at it again. But as like a little kid, I explained to you, I'm like, but look, we've achieved this much. We're now at 60% ready to achieve our dream. And it worked.
Yeah, it did work. And that's where your project managing skills come in, right?
Yeah.
See, these are things that you've learned in your life that are very valuable,
yeah.
and they actually become, you know, skills that you can use to achieve a dream that's got nothing to do with work, right?
It's Who would have thought I'd been bloody broom thanks to an Excel spreadsheet and some ferns in Costa Rica and going inward with the right questions?
Yeah.
But that's how it works, right? I mean, that's how it works for us.
Yeah, look, the it's a beautiful balance of many different little elements that you've brought to the table, and like putting it in a big map, it's just, you don't have to meet all of those targets every single time. Like, some of those targets even changed. I think with money, we were like, nah, we're not going to make it. And we could have got disheartened and been like, well, we're not going to make it, so we might as well give up. No, we just got to push it back. And yes, we might not get to make it to Cairns in the time that we thought we would, but you know what? We will still get to see Western Australia and Darwin. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So
getting real with yourself.
Yeah. Sometimes the map's not accurate, and sometimes your action plan isn't exactly how it ends up being at the very final copy, but getting it down, like you said, the same with the ideas, getting it down, like, what do I value? What do I, you know, need to achieve this? It's all visually represented,
yeah,
so that you can actually see it. Like, it's so important to see it, That's a real thing. It's tangible. It's real.
Download through your head, your heart, your gut, onto a piece of paper or a digital piece of paper.
Yeah.
And then
otherwise you're still just sitting on the beach meditating about your why and not actually like going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know? So.
But look, I mean, I know it sounds like I've done all of the practical steps. That is absolutely not true. Another really important thing that I want to talk about is the divide and conquer strategy. Particularly if you're about to embark on a life-changing adventure as a couple or as a family, you will not achieve it by yourself. It is not possible. You can be phenomenal at what you do, you can be really good at planning, but guaranteed you will miss something. Whether it's a piece of equipment or a piece of knowledge and you're stuck in the desert with your figurative pants down.
Call on the people you need.
Exactly. And
call on your team.
In our case, it was actually about looking at where our strengths lay and dividing and conquering. And even if the strengths didn't make sense, still, just from a purely division of labor perspective, we divided it pretty well. So I took care of the majority of things related to the car and the caravan and the fitment and the knowledge associated there. And then I taught you that after the fact.
And I thought of things that you would never think of, like with the pets, like what bedding they would need, like what we would need to like keep ourselves warm at night. Or like,
yeah.
I think of the random scenarios that you could just never even imagine. So there's different things that you're good at, and there's different things that are equally as important, because all of those randomly weird items that I've brought on this trip, we've ended up using them all.
Absolutely.
So it comes to fruition at some point. And I'm like, oh, that's why I remembered to bring this. So, and also the decorating, the excitement to make our space our
home.
The
softer side. Yeah. Like if you're watching on YouTube, you can probably see behind Anita, like there's a nice little black crystal tree and a nice little thing on the... And there's also a PowerPoint.
Stop it.
But now the softer side you brought to the table. And that's so important because, you know, in the end, you're far away from home. We're far away from home. 5,000 kilometers last time I checked. And you're going to miss home. You're going to miss the little things. And those little things are the ones that are going to add the soul to your trip and the nice glow and that extra bit of feel good. Because it's not enough just to make it there.
Yeah, you want it to feel comfortable and to be home. But it's not only just dividing and conquering between us two. Like, we actually went out to the people that we know that have better skills in certain aspects of what we were about to do than we do. Like, we had friends that were into four-wheel driving, so we could ask them some questions. You have an uncle who knows his way around the mechanics of the car.
We were green as when we started this. We've never towed in our life.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's okay to not know. Like, that's part of that journey.
Most of it was
discovering that knowledge.
Oh yeah. Like, you set us up pretty well in advance. Like, but we have had to learn a lot as we go. Like, and that's another thing. Like, it doesn't mean you can't do it because you don't know everything. You just need to know enough to be safe. And that's a big thing with this kind of trip. It's not going to be relevant to every single person's, you know, journey that they're going on. But for us, it was important because we're traveling around Australia with a caravan, cat, dog, us, you know, we need to be able to actually be safe.
Yeah.
So there was things that you had to learn before we went. But to be honest, touching wood, we haven't had to use a lot of the...
It's been pretty
good. We've been really lucky. We've done really well. Thanks to your knowledge and thanks to, yeah, just the fact that we've actually learned a lot as we're going and we've found ways to avoid the problems that mostly occur for most people, like getting washed up on the beach.
Yeah, well, that really comes back to relationship to risk, which is... risk is, for me, risk is a funny word because in the corporate world where I've come from, I've always kind of not rolled my eyes at risk, but kind of it's been a bit of a second thought sometimes because risk is not fun. There's nothing fun about managing risk and there's nothing sexy about it, but it has to happen, particularly when you are in the desert or you're in a remote place like we have been. And, you know, having that, in the end, you have to be safe. And that is your relationship to risk.
Mm.
And if you're safe, you'll have a good time, period. If you're unsafe or if something happens, trip's probably over.
Yeah.
So some things are not going to be very sexy to do. Like a spreadsheet is not sexy, but you got to do it. And finding your relationship to risk and managing that, I think, is really, really important because you're never going to eliminate it. It's never going to be possible to eliminate a risk with any venture that you do, with any life-changing decision, with any major change in life. Mm. You cannot eliminate risk, but you can manage it. And one example that I want to draw on here is what happened to us on the Utnadada track in the middle of the outback on a desert road in South Australia. Basically, the nut that... that holds the hitch receiver together. So the hitch receiver is the bit that the caravan connects to, and hitches onto. That nut was super loose. And I discovered that as part of a random check that I did. And had that have come off on the highway the next morning, we would have had a serious accident, probably resulting in serious injury or death. And the only reason why I was able to mitigate that risk was because I do daily checks on the car and I have a bloody checklist. And actually, to be fair, that particular thing wasn't on the checklist. So I think there was a bit of a divine intervention there. But the fact that I had a checklist and the fact that, you know, you can at least try and prevent these things from occurring means that we're still here today and having a good time.
Yeah.
So manage the risk, do the unsexy stuff, do the work, do the inner work, listen.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm giving people a bit of a blueprint.
Yeah, I think coming down to it, how do you discover what you want in life? You need to know what you value. Who is important to you as well? Because that is a huge thing for us, is we made our decisions based on being able to bring our pets with us because we love them and want to spend time with them. So, like, the people that are involved, your values, some sort of strategy.
The strategy thing.
The strategy thing. But, yeah, like, there's a whole heap of small little things that put together a big idea. So you can have the idea, but you need to make it reality with all of the little bits, but don't get hung up to the point where you feel like it's impossible. Just need to make them small, achievable action steps.
Yeah. And most, you know, probably equally as important, enjoy the journey. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the journey because it's not just about the destination. The destination will be a fleeting time and a place point in your life, but the journey is... that's half the fun.
And you're going to want to quit. You're not going to think it's for you because it gets hard. And if you can turn your perspective from hard being learning, so if you can make it go from difficulty to learning, which is an opportunity, if you can switch that perspective, you will get way further, way, way further in life. I think that was my key bing, 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 bing moment. That was not very exciting. Bing, 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 bing. Bing, 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 bing. That was my very, Yeah, that was my Bing moment because, yeah, changing that perspective of when things get hard, not quitting because I don't think I'm good enough or I don't think I'm going to be able to achieve it enough, and going, no, well, what I'm learning is the things that don't work. So that didn't work. That's just one less thing that I have to choose from, you know, like, so let's try a different way. That's definitely my biggest learning from the whole experience, was changing your perspective, realizing that in the difficulties there's learning, and learning is growth, and growth is a step closer to your achieving
yep.
whatever it is that you're trying to achieve.
Definitely. Wow. Mm. I'm so excited for us. I mean, we're already on the journey, on the trip, but yeah, it's just, it's such an incredible thing to have the opportunity to do, to really go for your dream. And dreams will change. There'll be another dream down the track. But right now, in this current reality, this is our dream and we're living it. And
yeah.
I want everyone to know that it is possible. Set your sights on something that you truly want. You can find it and you can achieve it, you know, within the realms of physics and possibility, of course. But it is possible. We are walking examples of how it is possible.
And yeah, your values change, your dreams change, and that's okay too. But doesn't mean don't try and don't do what you want to do right now. Live in the moment and be present.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your insights today.
And you, my darling.
I've enjoyed this studio space, we now have to convert back into a caravan living space.
Living area.
The poor dog is looking at us with a sulken eyes.
It's very hot. 36 degrees, I think. And I'm starting to feel a little bit like I'm a melting wicked witch of the west.
I think it's time to go for a swim.
Swim time. And we can, because we're in Broome.
And thank
Actually,
you.
There's no crocodiles, right?
I think there are now.
Damn it.
So thank you to everyone that's been listening and watching us. It's been phenomenal connecting back again for the second season. I don't know when we'll bring out the next episode, but I promise you we will at some point. Mm. And as always, subscribe for more content, give us a like, share it with your friends, share it with your family. It will mean a lot to us. And we look forward to bringing you many further episodes as we continue along our journey.
Yes.
Bye for now.
Bye.